And now we're going to talk about dinosaurs. Earlier this month, paleontologist Paul Sereno announced the discovery of a new species of dinosaur found in Africa. Sereno calls his new find Rugops primus, or maybe it's Rugops primus. I'm not sure. We'll find out. First wrinkle face is the translation. This particular brand of dinosaur had relatives that lived in South America and India, but until now had never been seen in Africa. The new discovery has geological implications. The dinosaur lived 95 million years ago, so it had to make its way from southern continents to Africa around then. Sereno says that means those continents must have been connected in some way, at least by land bridges. And this evidence casts doubt on the first Africa First theory, which says Africa split off from the rest of ancient southern continent of Gondwana as long as 120 million years ago. So it's the timing is all very complicated, and these dinosaurs just may be complicated even further. This research was published in the June 2nd issue of the Proceedings of the Royal Society of London Biological Sciences and will also appear in the July issue of National Geographic. We'll talk with Paul Sereno about his dinosaur and what it tells us about our planet's geologic history. If you'd like to join the discussion, give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. And if you want more information about what we'll be talking about this hour, go to our website at www.sciencefriday.com, where you'll find links to our topic. So, welcome to the program, Dr. Sereno.
Thank you very much for having me on.
And first of all, I have to get you to describe this new dinosaur that you found.
Well, we found a skull, and we found various parts of the postcranial skeleton, the part of the skeleton behind the skull. But the skull is what we know most of. It had a very unusual texture and on its bone surface, and so we incorporated that into the name, Rugops primus, or first wrinkle face, referring to the grooves for blood vessels that run across the most of the surface of the snout of the animal.
And tell me a little bit about the expedition that, and it is Rugops primus. You can never tell with you dinosaur guys whether, you know, you're going to make it a long U or a short U, but okay, so Rugops primus.
But I mean, that you got it as well as you did?
Yeah.
I consider that a tremendous success in naming.
Well, I'll give myself, you know, maybe an A- or something. Anyway, so tell me a little bit about, you know, how you came to discover this and a little bit more about what you think, because you've only got the skull at this point.
Yeah, we actually have found a few more bones of the postcranium in the last expedition. But this is an unusual meat-eating dinosaur. It's a meat-eating dinosaur because it has these pointed teeth, and it's a two-legged animal that would look grossly like a tyrannosaur, but somewhat smaller in body size, probably about 30 to 35 feet in length. But this particular group of meat-eaters has a name. We call them abelisaurs because they have this unusual pattern of grooves on their face and a bunch of other features. They have relatively small teeth, and some of them have horns on their head. They're very strange. They have been known originally from South America, and then they were found in India and also on Madagascar, three of the southern continents that we have good fossil records for. But they were absent in Africa. And this, along with some other evidence, was used to suggest, quite reasonably, I think at the time, years ago, that maybe Africa pulled away while this kind of predator, as well as other fossil reptiles and even mammals, tiny little ones about the selenodon size, colonized the rest of the land masses. Africa departing before it had a chance to colonize that continent about 120 million years ago. And it was perplexing because we had run a bunch of expeditions to Africa, found large and small predators, but not a hide nor hair of this unusual kind of predator. But then the discovery came when we went in 2000 into a remote area of the Tenere Desert in the country of Niger, and a student came walking along a very flat and otherwise harmless-looking area of the desert and spotted this beautiful jaw sticking out of the ground.
Wow, and it's really just like that. I mean, you get to the point where your eye picks these things up because I've seen pictures, and to me it looks like a lot of nothing, but somehow they see things and identify them as bones.
Yeah, it's an incredible lot of nothing. It's an area that sometimes can be the size of a good state or perhaps even as big as California search area. But within that area, there are hot spots where fossils are concentrated, and this particular area was a godsend to our understanding of of dinosaurs of this age. We found more dinosaurs within a football field square area than had been found in 95 million-year-old rocks on the entire rest of the continent of Africa, and we did that in 1 or 2 days' time. And sometimes it just comes like that. It was and it was a river deposit, flat, a bit red. It could have been stepped on by some passing camel, but it's still pretty remote, and so there's nobody living in the area, and it just happened to be a bend in the river that concentrated several different kinds of animals, including rugops. 95 million years ago.
Well, now that we've come to that date, 95 million years ago, I tried to explain in my introduction that this date is important, potentially, because it suggests that somehow this animal came over land from the southern continent. So maybe you can explain a little bit how that logic works.
That's pretty close to what we're sort of surmising from the animal. We think that this species we generally find species on a single landmass, particularly when there's some kind of at least partial division between areas the size of continents. It's very rare today as well that a species would be able to dominate more than a single continent. And so what we find with rugops is that just a short time ago, a partial skull was described from Argentina, which then was much closer. The question is, was it connected or not? And that jaw is almost identical to rugops, so it was a very close relative. So we don't know if rugops came to Africa or if rugops' lineage was on Africa and spread to Argentina, but what we do know is that predatory dinosaurs of many stripes, now including abelisaurs, crocodiles, and other kinds of things that we find, turtles, have a very close resemblance to what's being found in Argentina. And the only way to maintain that degree of similarity, sometimes only species differences between things, is if there was some type of connection in the recent past. They couldn't have been separated for more than a couple of million years, maybe 5 million years, without there being more change. Because what a lot of people don't realize is that dinosaurs and other kinds of reptiles, and even our own species, these species don't last for more than a couple of million years. And then either you give rise to new species or you go extinct. There's no dinosaur species that's ever lasted more than about 3 million years. And so given that constraint, we argue that there was a land bridge that wasn't there too long before, and that marries quite nicely with the opposite evidence, which you have from the seafloor. You have this sea beginning to expand into the Atlantic Ocean, north and south, and at some point it broke, and those north and south waters, somewhere around current-day Brazil, joined to form an Atlantic Ocean. And when that happened, when the dinosaurs could no longer cross, the sea organisms could. And so you see the reverse in the sea. You see all of a sudden intermixing of species that look now identical, and whereas before there was some significant differences. And both of those things say about 100 to 95 million years was the last connection, and that matches the breaks to other continents in the south as well.
Interesting. We're talking with Paul Sereno, a paleontologist at the University of Chicago and the president and co-founder of Project Exploration in Chicago, Illinois. I'm Joe Palca, and this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's take a call on this topic. How about Andrew in, is it Bountiful, Utah?
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, welcome to the program. What's your question?
My question is for Paul. I've been interested in dinosaurs a long time, and I was just wondering if this particular dinosaur has a very close relation to Carnotaurus, because I've seen pictures of the skull, and it looks virtually identical.
Yes, and I would say it does, in fact. And you could learn and read more about it by logging into the website we've set up for this dinosaur by logging in www.rugops.org, and you'll find an evolutionary drawing eventually among the there's field photographs and all sorts of stories about how it was discovered, but there is an evolutionary diagram, and Carnotaurus is a bit younger. It's now regarded as about 80 million years old, or perhaps even a little bit younger than that, and it is more derived in the sense that its skull is even shorter than Rugops. It has horns, and the top of the skull is thickened, and we used all those things as evidence for where rugops fit in, and that's why we call it primus, because it appears to be the oldest and the most primitive of the wrinkle-faced dinosaurs. But you're quite correct. Carnotaurus from Argentina is a derived member. We announced one from India, Rajasaurus, also a closely related form, and Madagascar, Majungatholus. Those are all relatives of this really peculiar group of dinosaurs.
Andrew, thanks very much for the call. Let's go to Zachary in Anchorage, Alaska. Welcome to the program.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Well, I've got another question about Abelisaurus real quick. I've seen Majungatholus' skull, and I've seen Rajasaurus, and they look almost identical to me. And I was wondering, I haven't seen a new skull of Rugops, and I was wondering what the unique skull structures of the animal is.
Wow, we've really got some great technical calls.
Can you fill us in on a little, maybe explain the question a little bit before
answer it? I think it's a very good question, and he's quite correct. The one we announced, Rajasaurus in India, is indeed quite close to this dinosaur called Majungatholus on Madagascar. And, of course, the two physically were not that far apart. The difference is that there are several differences in the skull of Rajasaurus and Majungatholus, but they are quite similar. Both of them have a single horn towards the top of the skull. In the case of Rajasaurus, technically the frontal actually participates in the horn. The shape of the horn looks different. And there's a number of other features that differ in the shape of the jaws and the shape of the teeth, but they are probably closest relatives.
Paul Sereno, I'm going to ask you to hold on for just a moment.
Sure.
We do have to take a quick break, but I hope you can stay.
Sure.
We won't be gone for very long.
Sure.
So I need to remind people that we will be right back after a short break, so please stay with us. From NPR News, this is Talk of the Nation Science Friday, and I'm Joe Palca. We're talking with Paul Sereno. He's a paleontologist at the University of Chicago. We're talking about the new dinosaur finds that he's reporting, I guess, in the Royal Society Journal, and also coming up next month in National Geographic magazine. Don't want to get those confused. And we were talking about Rugops, but there was another dinosaur that you were reporting in this current round. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, before leaving Rugops, Rugops has the clear indication that it's a new species. It's some structures that have never been seen before. There's a series of 14 holes in the top of its skull that supplied something growing out of the top of its snout, probably some kind of soft display structure. So we're not sure exactly what it looked like, but a very peculiar structure. We're hoping to CAT scan the snout to understand more how the internal chambers are related to those holes. But the second dinosaur we described actually traces the ancestors of the Abelisaurus on Africa way back to 135 million years ago, well before the continents broke apart. And so it clearly establishes on Africa the oldest now record of a lineage that gave rise to the Abelisaurus. That one we called Spinostrophius. It's a dinosaur that would have been about 12 or 15 feet long, 3 or 4 meters long. We have the trunk section right behind the head to the hips.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty characteristic part of the body. It was found just dried and laying on its side in the middle of a site where we found other dinosaurs.
Amazing. You know, one of the questions, before I let you go, and I appreciate your staying with us a little longer than we anticipated, but one of the questions I had was, you know, you described this find, you observed it in 2000, and here we are in 2004. What happens in the 4 years between the time you spot this and the time you're able to say something definitive about it? What do you have to do?
I would invite listeners to the rugops.org site to see all the other things that are reconstructed. I mean, when we walked into this valley, it was like walking into the Valley of the Kings. There were so many dinosaurs around. There's a 60-foot dinosaur we haven't even begun to work on yet that we collected as a multi-ton specimen from this area. It takes a long time to work up some of these species, and so in between 2000, we've reconstructed Super Croc, a 40-foot crocodile. We've announced Duck Croc, a smaller crocodile, and we're working on a sauropod, which is a much longer and larger thing. So we're hatching these things about as quickly as humanly possible, but you're correct. It does take a lot of work. You have to sit down, and a student spent months laboring over the skull, taking sand grains off. Then we cast it and mold it. Then we put it together as a skull. We took the casts of the individual bones and assembled them in a skull. And then we made a flesh model, which is a very interesting flesh model, which you can see on that website, where we tried to recreate the horny tissue over those wrinkles on the skull to give perhaps the best living look at what this weird kind of, perhaps a scavenger, what this weird kind of predator rugops would have looked like. But there's a lot of work that involves that. And I would be really happy to say that in 2000, however, people who logged onto the Project Exploration website learned first about this discovery. We didn't say exactly what it was, even though we had a hunch. But we related to kids interested in your program and other kinds of science programs by satellite with a battery to a word processor to a satellite phone, a car battery. We powered up a story, the first story on rugops, and you can find it on that website, that describes this Valley of the Kings and a really exciting discovery firsthand.
Well, it's a very exciting way, of course, of doing science, and an interesting way. And it's also, it shows the difference between the kinds of things you can do when you're first describing something and the kind of thoroughness that you have to go through to make it into a scientific journal. So I appreciate your doing that. All right, Dr. Sereno, thank you very much for staying with us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Paul Sereno is a paleontologist at the University of Chicago and the president and co-founder of Project Exploration in Chicago, Illinois.